Welcome to Straight Talk with MJ. I'm your host, Michelle Jeanette, and thank you again for joining me on another podcast episode. Today is Saturday, the 15th of May. Can't believe that May is already halfway over. Today's episode is called A Clarion Call, and I'm going to talk a little bit about this really important letter that was published this last week by some very important people, and a couple of them we know personally, and it is a clarion call. So I thought, okay, what is a clarion call? So I'm going to share that with you, and then I'm going to share, of course, I always end with history, and today I'm going to be reading out of the Founder's Bible a couple of short little, I guess, informational stories that have to do, a little bit have to do with today's episode, A Clarion Call. But first, I wanted to read something while I was doing some research. I came across this scripture, and it so jumped out at me because it had everything to do with what I'm going to talk about today. And then I'm going to read the scripture, and then you'll hear as I explain later how it, you know, comes together. And this is out of Ezekiel 33. And again, I am in Texas in a hotel room. So if you do hear some little strange noises in the background, my husband is working. He has his earphones on with music. So I'll try really hard not to let him sing. But you can probably hear his little computer where he's typing away working there. So that's just how it is on the road, coming to you from the great state of Texas. But, okay, Ezekiel 33, this is really good. And the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, speak to the sons of your people, and say to them, If I bring a sword upon a land, and the people of the land take one man from among them, and make him their watchman, and he sees the sword coming upon the land, and blows on the trumpet and warns the people, then he who hears the sound of the trumpet and does not take warning, and a sword comes and takes him away, his blood will be on his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet, but did not take warning. His blood will be on himself. But had he taken warning, he would have delivered his life. But if the watchman sees the sword coming and does not blow the trumpet, and the people are not warned, and a sword comes and takes a person from them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood I will require from the watchman's hand. That's Ezekiel 33:1-6. What does that have to do anything? It really has a lot to do with the letter I'm going to read, and it's so important because it is a clarion call. So what's a clarion call? I had to look clarion up because I wanted to give you the right definition. A clarion is an adjective here, and this is dictionary.com. It says clear and shrill. The clarion call of a battle trumpet. Clear and shrill. So this letter is very clear, it's very loud, and it's a trumpet call, and it's a call to battle. Now, is it a call to arms, like kinetic war? No. They pray that never has to happen. But this is a letter calling Americans, especially, I say, Christian Americans, to get off the sidelines and to step up and make a difference. So I know it's hard, and listening to War Room with Steve Bannon on America's Voice.news, I highly recommend that channel. You can get it as an app, like on Roku or something like that. That's how we watch it. But generals, they're all high-ranking retired generals and admirals, and all of them, and there's 150 so far that have signed this letter. Two of them our family knows personally, because my father served with two of these generals when he was in the military, and very good friends with them still. But it's difficult because generals and admirals, okay, they have special, I guess, access to things, you know, because they've served so long in the country to serve their nation, 23, 30, 35 years plus, they do have special privileges. And a lot of them, it's hard, you know, they get these special privileges, and but when they speak out against the ranking idea that's going on right now, they will have to pretty much stand up and go against the flow, so to speak, which to me is shouldn't happen. It should be everyone who has taken an oath to this Constitution, because that's their oath, is to the Constitution, not to any particular leader. Then, you know, when things do go wrong or bad, they need to stand up and keep their oath, which that is what these 150 so far admirals and generals are doing, keeping their oath. And it's hard for us as, you know, normal civilians, anytime we speak up, anytime anybody speaks up for truth, for the Constitution, for American values, for Christian values, if you oppose it, if you oppose their radical Marxist, racist ideology, you're the bigot, you're the insurgent, you're the anti-science. If you say something about COVID or about vaccines, you're the anti-vaxxer, you're the domestic terrorist, you're the white supremacist. You know, that's what they keep calling us, because they can't run on their ideas, because their ideas are radical, they're dangerous, they don't work, they destroy, they tear down, they completely change America as it is now. And they're dangerous, and they are going like a bull in a china shop right now, just getting rid of everything that's Christian, conservative, God. You know, they don't like God. They hate God, actually. So this letter is very important. I'm going to share the link, of course, in the podcast on the website. Please share it. Once you hear it, you will understand. But first, I want to do a little clip before I read the letter about who some of these people are. A couple of the big names on this letter is, one, of course, is General Boykin, if you've not heard of him. He's very outspoken. He's with the Family Research Council, which, by the way, the Southern Poverty Law Center calls them a hate group. Everything to do with family. If you stand for family, stand for anything that America stands on, you are the domestic terrorist, and they're trying to rid you. They're trying to rid the military of those people. It's dangerous. It's wrong. And that is why these generals spoke out. So I want you to hear first who they are really quick. And this is from Steve Bannon, War Room. And listen to this introduction.
Captain Bannon, real quickly, give us a thumbnail of Boykin, Harrell, and Bodick before we turn to him.
So Lieutenant General Boykin, he was had a 36-year career. 13 of those years were in Delta Force, and 2 of those years he was the Delta Force commander. And Brigadier General Bodick from 2010 to 11 was the commander of the Combined Joint Special Operations Task Force and commander, and in 2012 to 13 he was the commander of the Combined Joint Special Operations component in Afghanistan.
And General Harrell?
He had a 35-year career. He was a Special Operations Command, and he was assigned to the prestigious First Special Forces Operation Detachment.
Wow. So these are 3 special operators that have just been at the forefront, yes.
And I just want to address, when you talked about retirement, that call for service never goes away. Even when you retire, it's always there, and they see what's happening to this great country, And it's not going to go away, and they're going to fight like they did when they were active duty. They're going to continue to fight when they're retired.
How does this inspire veterans like yourself that have served over there and now are in civilian life when you see men of this caliber step up and say, hey, here's why we need to step up and defend this republic again?
I mean, it inspires veterans that were lower ranking than them to step up as well, because we see the institution that we served in disappearing, and the military that we know and love, and this country that we know and love, change completely.
Don't even get me going on the woke. Don't even get me going on the woke Navy, and particularly the woke West Point, which is a topic for another day. My head will blow up. I want to go to. So let's start with General Boykin, and then we'll go around the horn. What was it, sir, that made you guys warn the nation back in September, and then what developed in your eyes to then step forward and obviously controversial? When an election, you know, when Biden is at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue and is the commander-in-chief, to step up now. So what was it principally that drove you?
Well, when we wrote the first letter there that had the 235 or so signatures, we were looking at the people that have been elected in our Congress to begin with, and realizing that if they had any influence on the next commander-in-chief, the next president, that we were going to, in 4 years, we were going to become a Marxist country. And I think we were all very concerned about that. You see, especially those of us who have come out of special operations, because I ran the special operations school, the special warfare center and school, and we taught Marxist insurgency. And we sent our men out of that school understanding Marxism and understanding what a Marxist revolution looks like, because our mission and in many cases was to help indigenous forces fight against that. So we saw this Marxism coming to America just based on the people that we were seeing in the Congress, the people that we knew would be part of a Biden administration, and that what we were trying to do was warn people, vote right. Elections have consequences, vote right. And make sure that you understand that this Marxist movement in America is real, and you cannot deny it anymore. And we can go back to the roots of it and talk about what it looks like, but that was fundamentally why we wrote that letter.
Okay, so the letter. I'm going to go through this. I'm not going to read the whole thing. We'll put the link, and I want you to go and read it, and I want you to share it. It's very, very important. But they start off with this letter. It says, our nation is in deep peril. We are in a fight for our survival as a constitutional republic like no other time since our founding in 1776. The conflict is between supporters of socialism and Marxism versus supporters of constitutional freedom and liberty. And they go on and they talk about they need open, fair, and honest elections, and that didn't happen in 2020. I don't care if you, what the media has told you, they are lies. The lies of the media, it's they're so powerful right now. What's going on in Arizona especially is very important, and they don't want you to know about it. It's so important, and I'll talk about that at another time. But they are uncovering with this really deep audit that they're doing. So many people, the DOJ, all these Democrats are trying to stop this. So why would they want to stop something if they're not afraid of what the outcome would be? If they won fair and square, they should have no worries whatsoever of an audit of what happened to the ballots. And what they're finding is scary stuff of what happened. Just in Arizona, 25% of the audit's done, and they have found some very bad stuff. It's stuff I can talk about. It's a whole other issue. The letter goes on and talks about, of course, that, and then, you know, H.R. 1 and S.1 that they're trying to solidify, if they passed it, would destroy election fairness and allow Democrats to remain forever in power, violating their constitution, our constitution. They talk about all the executive orders. Open borders is bad. China is the threat from China within. Okay. China has a foothold in so many universities, institutions, corporations, and now government, okay? With Biden, with the Biden family, with their ties with China, it's unreal the national security threats that we are under right now. the free flow of information being shut down. They're not allowing you the truth about COVID. They're not allowing you the truth about the elections. They're not allowing the truth about January 6th. They're not allowing any of that truth to get out. And the narrative that they're pushing is wrong. It's bad. It's dangerous. They don't want another part of the letter. They don't want to get involved in the nuclear deal. Again, we know what Iran does. They fund Hamas. Now we're funding Hamas with the money that Biden has sent over to the Palestinians. Hamas is using hundreds of millions of dollars to go against our biggest ally, Israel. They're using the military as political pawns, especially surrounding the White House and the troops that are there. And then the existential threat, politically correct, divisive, critical race theory that they're trying to push into the military. The rule of law with security, the republic, and the middle. And they even address the mental and physical condition of the commander-in-chief. If you remember back with Trump, they constantly questioned his mental ability, and they didn't even want him to have the nuclear codes. So it's very interesting that recent Democrat leaderships have not wanted to have Biden have the military or the nuclear codes. And, you know, of course, his mental and physical condition needs to be questioned. It's our leader. Okay. So if they question it with Trump, there's no reason why we can't question it also with Biden. So what they do at the end is they urge all citizens to get involved now at the local, state, and national level to elect political representatives who will act to save America, this constitutional republic. Share this letter. Go and read it. It's very important. You know, if you have friends in the military, like I said, that are high-ranking retired officers, get them to go there and sign it. Again, I will put that link in my podcast, but it's flagofficersforamerica.com, and it's the number 4, not spelled out. So, finishing up here, let's see where I'm at here. What minute? I'm trying to do this fast. 17 minutes. Okay. Awesome. So, ifapray.org. That's Intercessors for America. And they're a great website. If you're a prayer warrior, if you want to learn to pray, or if they have a little prayers that you can follow, they have a program that you are a program where you can help pray for different people in politics and office. This one's dated today, A Call to Battle, What Christians Who Love Our Country Need to Hear Right Now. There are decision points in our lives and in the life of our nation where one choice can change the trajectory forever. So not only do we have former military generals with this clarion call, clear and shrill, it's clear. We also have the Christian side, the generals on the Christian side with this call. I believe our nation is in one of those moments, and at this crucial time, many intercessors have grown tired and even distracted. Thankfully, we serve a God who can renew our strength, and boy, do we need it. They talk about, of course, we know everything that's coming out of Washington right now is so anti-American, so anti-God. It's everything that is just destructive, okay? But I'm convinced, this is the author. Again, we have reason to be thankful. That moment of weakness, our weakness right now, that point of peril where no human solution can save us, I suspect that is when God most delights in coming to the rescue. That history proves that over and over. But I'm convinced he has ordained a primary method to usher in that rescue, that revolution, that reformation our land so desperately needs, a repentant, praying people. So during World War II, the American populace mobilized to support the war effort. Mothers, children, older men, everyone in between, salvaged materials, created victory gardens, went without certain goods. And so they're saying, why not do this with the intercessory community? Let's pray for them. Let's for the kingdom believers in Congress. There are some there that are fighting. Okay, let's pray for them. There's kingdom believers in media. We need to pray for them. There are unsaved people in the federal government. We know that. We need to fast and pray for them. So this is interesting. There is a group of intelligent, educated young women working all throughout the DC swamp who have begun a time of fasting and prayer. They're called the 21 Wailing Women, and they've committed to 21 days of fasting and prayer. From Capitol Hill to government contractors, they occupy positions of serious influence and sway in our nation. So let's rise up. Let's join them in this prayer effort, fasting and prayer. And the country needs you. Okay, this is your call. The country needs you. Let us not grow weary in doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. That's Galatians 6:9. Pray without ceasing, 1 Timothy 5:17. And so that's a call to us, for us to really get serious as Christians. No more sitting on the sidelines. Our nation is at a point where it's do or die. That's why the generals stepped out and wrote this letter. They see the peril that this nation is in and the dire moment that we are in. And it is. Another article in IFA talks about this being, we're up against a demonic entity when everything that's happening at once. It's an ideological totalitarianism is what we're facing. So it's, you know, totalitarianism is always about a set of values, but during the course of humanity, totalitarianism is typically held by a small group of people who take over power and then force compliance to their set of values. Because obviously we weren't going to vote for it, so they had to force it on us with cancel culture. You're seeing it all throughout our society today. The form of totalitarianism we see in our nation at this time is something never before seen in history. A large, vast group of powerful leaders across society's spectrum, news organizations, politicians, tech leaders, etc., share the same set of values and are enforcing them abusively through limiting religious freedoms and free speech. And we talked about the other stuff. So our response is critical. Will enough believers recognize this dangerous moment in time? Are we willing to make our voices heard loud enough? Are we committed to unified prayer? Are we willing to fight against this form of totalitarianism through activism in the streets and activism in the courts? I'm sounding the alarm. Do not underestimate the fragility of this moment. So, I read that. That was really awesome that I came across Ezekiel 33. At the same time I was reading, you know, wanted to share the letter by the generals. And, you know, then this, the IFA pray. So everybody is in agreement from, you know, because a lot of these generals are very strong Christian people. I know several of them. My dad knows several of them. So it's not just military, it's not just Christian. It's all together. We're in agreement that our nation is in peril. And we are sounding the alarm, like Ezekiel 33. We're letting you know this clarion call is loud and clear. It's up to us to get into action, to save it for our kids and our grandkids. What will they say about us in the future? What will they say about us? Were we stepping up and doing our part? And it's important. It's very, very important. I'm going to end with my history, and I have two short little, I guess, stories. It's out of the Founders Bible. It has to do with this, this subject, and as Christians especially. So let me get that, and I'll read that to you. Okay, this is from the book of Daniel, and in the Founders Bible, it's on page 1283, speaking the truth in love while sacrificing neither. And it comes down, it says, few, if any of us, like to be corrected, but the Bible teaches that it is a virtue to heed reproof rather than reject it. While our shame and insecurity make it hard to hear a reproof, it makes it just as hard to deliver one. Consequently, many Christians, rather than speak the truth about issues the Bible clearly addresses, fearing the discomfort of offending anyone, prefer to be non-confrontational and often elevate it to a near virtue. That was not the example Jesus set. We are to speak the truth in love, sacrificing neither. But notice Jesus' description of his own mission in Matthew 10:34-38. Do not think that I came to bring peace on the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I came to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's enemies will be the members of his household. Jesus' reference that he came to bring a sword is not saying that he came to bring violence. Rather, he came to speak the truth, to confront where it was needed, and clearly spoken words can sometimes cut just as deeply as any sword. The truth can divide households and families, and candidly spoken words, even if they are delivered with the greatest love and care, can cause relationships to be split along lines of righteousness. Jesus therefore made clear that if someone really wanted to follow him, their love for him would need to be greater than their desire to preserve the peace in a family or relationship. We must not be afraid to speak the truth when it is needed, or to embrace the truth when those close to us may not. Jesus did not say he desired to divide. It's just that the sword of truth may well do so. Quite frankly, telling the truth often offends the hearer. In fact, Matthew 15, then the disciples came to him and said, "Do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard that statement?" But he answered and said, "Every plant which my heavenly Father did not plant shall be uprooted. Leave them alone." Founding Father John Quincy Adams observed that for a minister to speak the truth, especially when the message was hard to deliver, was a rare but refreshing occurrence. In his diary, he noted one such occasion. "I attended public worship in the hall of the House of Representatives, where Mr. Tustin, the chaplain of the Senate, preached from Daniel 5:27, Tekel, thou art weighed in the balances and are found wanting. This is a formidable text for a preacher to manage, and especially for a chaplain to a House of Congress. It is in itself the key to a discourse of keen and searching reproof to the audience. It is the solemn duty of a Christian clergyman to administer reproof to his hearers, and it is the duty of the hearers to listen to reproof without taking offense. This is the great practical obstacle to the faithful and useful discharge of the preacher's duty. If he probes the sinner to the soul, he kindles hatred against himself and loses his hold upon the conscience. If he forbears or holds back, he neglects his holiest duty and betrays the cause of his master. Mr. Tustin told us all that we had been weighed in the balances and found wanting." The crowd that attended the church in the Capitol each Sunday was filled with congressmen, senators, and often the president, as well as hundreds from the community. Can you imagine a preacher, or any Christian today, looking directly into the eyes of the nation's leaders and telling them that they have been weighed in the balance and found wanting? Not likely. Far too many Christians have wrongly believed that it is unchristian to offend others, and consequently, a love of the truth has too frequently been sacrificed to a fear of hurting someone's feelings. Notice Adams's observation that it was the duty of Christians, particularly ministers, to administer reproof to his hearers, and that it was also the duty of Christians to listen to reproof without taking offense. According to the Bible, both delivering and accepting reproofs are virtues, and we would do well to practice both. Reproofs are meant to give life. Their purpose is not to offend. Failing to share truth when it is needed isn't necessarily loving. Sometimes fearing to offend is more about protecting self than it is concern for others. While no one needs to give further license to unkind, self-righteous know-it-alls, there is a genuine need for Christians not only to return to loving the truth, but also speaking it in love. even on difficult cultural or spiritual issues. If we remain silent, how will people come to know the truth? If we fail to live it, how do we expect that they will hear? As such, with confidence and a fearless love for God, for people, and for truth, if the Bible speaks about an issue, any issue, so should we. And let us do so with the same loving but eternal clarity that the Bible uses. Okay, and the last thing is from Ecclesiastes 3. I have talked about this before. I probably mentioned it in a previous episode, a few episodes back, but it bears repeating right now because it's right there in front of us with these generals in their letter. In the 1770s, the Reverend John Peter Gabriel Muhlenberg pastored two churches in Woodstock, Virginia. One was an English-speaking Episcopal church, the other a German-speaking Lutheran church. He was also a member of the Virginia legislature. In January 1776, he was attending the legislative session in Williamsburg, and war with Great Britain was looming on the horizon. Boston had been blockaded by the British Navy, Charleston burned, Lexington and Concord attacked, public stores of gunpowder seized in Virginia, and the Battle of Bunker Hill fought. He returned home from the state capital to his churches, and on January 21st, 1776, stood in his pulpit and delivered what was to become his farewell sermon. He recounted the crisis then facing America, reminding them how America has been founded in pursuit of religious and civil liberties, and that they were now in danger of losing those liberties. He concluded with these words, "In the language of Holy Writ, there was a time for all things, a time to preach and a time to pray, but those times have passed away." Then in a loud voice, he pointed to verse 8, declaring, "There is a time to fight, and that time has now come." He then bowed his head and offered a dismissal prayer, but instead of following his usual custom of going off to the vestry room after his sermon, he began to disrobe in front of the congregation. When he finally shed his clerical robes, he stood before them in the full uniform of a military officer. He descended the pulpit, weapons in hand, and marched to the back of the church, reminding his parishioners that if they did not get involved and protect their liberties, they would have no liberties left to protect. Outside the church, Pastor Muhlenberg ordered drummers to beat for recruits. Some 300 men from his two congregations joined him that day and became the 8th Virginia Regiment. So, he goes on and talks about his brother who didn't get involved. He told him, "You're really not, shouldn't be doing that." And, you know, said, "This is wrong." But here's his reply to his brother. "I'm a clergyman, it's true, but I am a member of society as well as the poorest layman. And my liberty is as dear to me as to any man. Shall I then sit still? Heaven forbid it. I am called by my country in its defense. The cause is just and noble. And so far I am from thinking that I act wrong, I am convinced it is my duty to do so, and duty I owe to God and my country." His brother's house and church were destroyed by the British, and it was then that his brother decided to get involved, and he became very instrumental in helping America secure both civil and religious liberties. Both of them did. It's just, that's the time we're in. So this is the clarion call to all Christians especially. It's our duty to get involved, okay? So we don't have to fight another war. We need to act now. And doing that would be getting involved locally. There's not much we can do at this moment, at this second in time, at the federal level, except for getting involved locally in the state, shoring up your state legislatures, your state, politicians, making sure about where they stand in all of this, because we are in a fight against, like I said, Marxism, like Steve Bannon said, like the generals said. So it's up to us to get on our knees, to pray, ask God, how can we get involved? And, you know, now it's like earlier, I was listening to part of that interview with the generals. And it's something that they feel so strongly that they some of them, you know, they could be in retirement, having fun, relaxing, playing golf, being out on the boat, fishing, whatever it is, traveling. But they're going to put that aside. They've already served their nation for 25, 30, 35 years. But they're putting all of that retirement life aside. Some of them are running for office. Some of them are running for local party leaders, leadership, like the GOP party, because they understand the peril and the dire situation that our nation is in. So I challenge you, do like IFA Pray. I'm going to put the link on there. You can pray. You can follow them. Follow Flag Officers for America. War Room Steve Bannon on America's Voice. Excellent stuff. There's so much going on that's tearing down our nation. I can't even name it all. So I will be doing another episode, especially on the forbidden topic of COVID. I probably will do that next episode. Anyway, thank you for listening. Please read this letter and share it with everyone you know. It is very important. These people, these generals have served their, and their families have spent their lives serving this country. And when they say it's in peril, then you better listen up. And in our, especially our Christian generals, quote, you know, the spiritual generals I'm talking about. So anyway, thank you for following me, straighttalkwithmj.net. I'm on Gab, Straight Talk with MJ. I'm also on Telegram, Straight Talk with MJ. And remember, two T's is Straight Talk, straight and talk, two T's. Again, thank you for listening. Get out there, do something, take action. There's all kinds of ways to do it, and get involved. Make a difference. Speak up. God bless.